Up dog fella, look good, feel good, play good. We got some new Adidas golf swag coming the fella's way.
I don't know if any new golf swag would help your game, but I love it. Adidas is excited to introduce new offerings within the Go-To apparel collection that allows you to bring your style to the golf course. Not the traditional golf uniform, Go-To brings a fresh attitude to the game wherever you play. You'll look good on and off the course while enjoying all the technical benefits that let you play your best.
Featuring streetwear-inspired style, the Go-To collection rewrites all the rules and encourages you to express your style through every swing. Explore the new Go-To collection on adidas.com/golf.
Fella.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to a new fresh episode of Missing Curfew. I'm Shane O'Brien, as always, at Action Park Studio with my boy Scotty Upshaw.
What up, Bobes?
Captain Connolly.
We got a Hall of Famer in the house.
We got a future Hall of Famer. One of our boys from back in the day. Over 1,000 NHL matches, Stanley Cup champion, Olympic gold champion, world champion, champion. It's like Tiger Woods, this fucking guy. He's won it all. Our boy, Ryan Getzlaff. Getzy, what's up, buddy?
I'm good, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I looked up your wins and shit last night. I was like, fuck, I can't write all this down. Like, you guys won everything.
Well, it happens.
It happens.
I've been pretty fortunate.
Some guys are just winners, Hobbs.
Pretty fortunate.
Winners fuck broads.
My boy Jeff Gill the other day said that winners win. Yeah. That's what they do.
Jeff Gill loves that saying.
Have you won on every level? Are you one of those guys?
I've been almost every level now, so I've been pretty fortunate in my career, that's for sure.
He learned from the best.
Yeah.
Mr. Scotty Niedermayer. I think he's won on every level too.
Yeah.
Right? He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was all right, hey?
Not a bad skater. Yeah. So when he walked into Action Park, he said this place is pretty cool. And then we showed you the infamous Kevin Connolly knob. What were your thoughts as a guy who's put up over 1,000 games? What'd you think of the knob that Cons is rocking?
They're stick shaming me, Ryan. They're stick shaming
you. Yeah, they should. Not just for the record, they should.
That is a Connor McDavid stick.
Is
okay?
It?
That's
cut
what
down
he uses
a lot.
In the games. It's cut down a lot, and that's the exact one he uses in his matches. I'm convinced of it.
It is. Yeah. I guarantee his knob doesn't look like that though. That looks like a knob. You don't wear gloves when you play, right?
Well, no, but if we're going to really get into it, yeah, because, well, no, you have holes in the fingers of your gloves because you're playing on the beach in the parking lot, and there is a method to the madness. I know how to fucking tape a stick.
Are you sure?
He must be just holding on to the stick too tight if he's got holes in his gloves.
No, you guys one day can come out and watch for yourselves.
I would like that.
Where's the invite?
They're out there. We can
Where do we go? Venice
this.
Beach and kick some guy's ass?
Santa
there?
Monica. And they right. take them. They take it very seriously out there.
I think he has that stick by the door in case anyone breaks in. He just beats him with the knob.
No. That knob, I'll pull out the pistol grip fucking Mossberg if somebody breaks in, bro. But also, thank you. Getzlaff brought me a jersey. He's going to land on the main wall, boys, between McDavid and Crosby.
He should.
I was hoping. You could bring your own jersey. I'd put it up myself if I had the tools here. But
I said it's nice to have a guy up there that finally, a captain that'll drop his gloves for the squad up there. It's nice true. To have one. Which I know you respect, Con.
Does Sid not drop the gloves? He will.
Sid mixes it up once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I still love about watching what Getzy play. Like, when things are going a little sideways out there for the Ducks.
Totally.
I'm like, most games I would turn off right now, but I know Getzlaff's going to go in there and do something.
Well, I learned from the best.
Yeah. Just the Ducks hockey.
Saying, we used to fight the way out of the building if you weren't going to win.
Yeah, that was our method that year in Anaheim, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Every guy was like, if we're going to lose a game, we're going to fuck at least fight our way out of it.
Yep. Yeah, you want to follow the guys that fucking go face first. Drop the Mets. How many
Kerr
fights you
got?
Do you know how many Kerr fights you got?
I don't. No.
Who's the toughest, like, most meathead guy you've ever had to fight? Like, for any fourth liners or?
I fought I don't know. I fought McCormick in Buffalo one off the face off.
He was a little squirrely. He played a little squirrely.
I was going to say, usually fourth liners don't get out of the ice.
I know. But hey, when you play 30 minutes a night, I guess he's bound.
Coach usually yells at me if I fight a fourth liner.
Every time I played against Getzlaf in my career, I'd see his line be on the ice, and all here comes Getzlaf's line over the boards. I'm like, fuck, there goes my shift. Back to the bench. And I'm like, fuck, Getzy, I remember we played you guys Nashville against Anaheim. And
I remember this
Remember
one.
That series?
Yeah.
Fucking Randy played the piss out of Getzlaf's line. Like, Getzy was playing 35. I'm not lying, right, Getz?
Yeah.
Like, finally, I looked down the bench to Randy. I'm like, play another fucking line, would you? Like, I can't get on the fucking ice here. Getzy's about to die. Like, man.
Maybe that was their game plan. Keep O'Brien off the ice.
Yeah, that was our strategy.
You should have went the other way. You knew I would take a minor or something eventually out there. But.
Getzy, did you know that Andrew Ladd beat up Obi?
Wow.
Beat me up. No, you got the best. It was a spirited bout.
Now that you've seen the fight,
spirited bout.
Well, who would you give the decision to if you didn't know?
I would give you the decision, but it was a spirited bout.
He won the early rounds, and I got him in the championship rounds.
It looked like... You came strong late, but it didn't look good early. That's for sure.
You'd be like, well, I'd on him. I'd take you on the back end any day. Six.
Yeah. So let's get into your career bit, Getzy here. Uppy, you played for the Calgary Hitmen. Uppy, you got a great story about Getzy. Getzy's one of the best chirpers in the game too, by the way.
He sure is. It started young too. We both have the same agent. Actually, all three of us ended up having the same agents. Jerry,
look at that, hey?
Jerry
Joe, a little shout out.
So
Steve Kotlowitz.
And Steve Kotlowitz. And Manny D'Souza.
Manny, yeah.
It's a TSC, big team.
Baby. TSC.
You guys got a lot of people rolling.
Sports
on
Corporation.
TSC, yeah.
So I'm 19 years old. It's about November. I start in the NHL. Play my first 9 games, get sent back to junior. And my first game, we're playing in Kamloops against the Calgary Hitmen. And on the Calgary Hitmen, this young fucking superstar named Ryan Getzlaf. Same agent, so I knew about him. Hadn't really met him yet, but...
With the frosted tips.
He had some tips. He had some flow. I mean, flow out the back of the helmet. I fucking just... Yeah, he had the puck on his stick the whole game. So, you know, I come back. Everyone's excited. Upshaw's back on the team. But so they had me on the power play, and I'm playing on defense. Oops.
Yeah.
And I can't fucking hold on to the puck at all. I think I'm still a little, you know, my head's still in the NHL at Madison Square Garden. I was actually in Anaheim when I got sent back. So I was just in California. I got to fucking go play the next night in Kamloops. So I'm on the point, and I hear someone screaming at me on the bench. From there, we're lined up in front of their bench. I look over, and this fucking Getzlaf's on his feet. He's like, fucking Upshaw, you suck. You can't even hold on to the puck. You know, and I couldn't. I couldn't fucking handle it. And so I look over, and I'm like, Getzlaf, fuck, I was just in the NHL yesterday. They gave me $1 million. Now I got to fucking come back here and play against you fucking idiots. Like, you think I want to be out here? So basically, like, you know,
not a lot I could say.
Much I could say, but I guess who's getting the last laugh now?
Now he's chirping about the wall. Getzy's got a few more million in the bank to do, but Getz, just talk about playing the dub a bit. Like,
what's the dub?
It's the Western Hockey League where these two guys played. Getzy played for the Calgary Hitmen, so Getzy just. I mean, I love the way you play the game. Obviously, the WHL helped with that.
Yeah, I think the Western League was built a lot like that. Like when I was going through the dub, it was. You were big. Like there was fights every night. There was a lot of that stuff going on, and you learned how to play kind of the hard games. And the junior in general, I think you learn that. We play 78 games or whatever it is, which is close to the NHL schedule. You're on the bus. You're doing all that stuff. So got to learn how to play the game the hard way. Got to play in a great city. Calgary gave me a lot. Spent 4 years there learning how to be a pro. You know, being in Calgary, we got exposure to all the NHL clubs that were coming through. We played in the same rink. So that place has always kind of been home, which is nice.
NHL guys big league you then?
Guys big league. I used to give it to Iggy all the time. Yeah. We were at the Olympics. I used to give it to Iggy because he, Jerome McGinley for that matter, he...
there you go.
He was
Thank you, Getzy.
Yeah, I got you, Connelly.
Don't worry. Iggy can mean a lot. Yeah. A lot of guys can mean
true.
Iggy.
True. Connelly. So the Calgary Flames play in the same barn. You know, the same arena.
Right. I know what bar means.
As the Calgary Hitmen. So they share the ice. Their rooms are, you know, right up the hall. So basically the junior kids get to watch the NHL guys all day long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So basically you get that feel for it. And you know, what he's saying is Ginlay was probably like, oh, who's this fucking guy coming up? I mean.
Oh, he didn't know who
at some point I'm going to be fucking fighting him.
Oh, yeah. He walked past me a couple times when I was in junior. So.
No, though, yeah, because when I was in Calgary, like, I would actually go to my way to see the junior kids. It was... actually a little more refreshing for me than talking to some of the guys in my own Calgary Flames dressing room, right? Like, I'm like, hey, boys, what are you guys doing here? And then, like, Camilleri, and I love Cammy and these guys, they walk right by him. I'm like, Cammy, would it fucking kill you to say hi to this fucking kid? He probably looks up to you.
But... yeah, they walk right past us.
But... I have a question. I know, Obi, I hear you and Lupo, you guys talk about Cincinnati a lot, right? So is that, what league is that?
So that's the American League.
That's the American League.
Yeah, that's our affiliates for the NHL.
That's the
clubs.
AHL.
AHL, yeah.
Yeah, Getsy didn't spend much time in
that's
that
the
league.
That's the jungle.
Getsy is the jungle.
But I spent a little time
down
there. Is that
step before you go?
Yeah, that's the American League. That's where, you know, where guys go to develop. Like, AAA baseball cons would be
right.
the same
it's
thing
like
as AAA that.
Baseball.
So.
Okay. But and the WHL is where on that? Below that?
Yeah, that's junior hockey.
So WHL and then AHL and then you go to the pros.
Well, there's a couple other leagues like the East Coast League that's under the AHL, but
right.
guess you came down for a little cup of coffee with the boys in Cincinnati and Portland.
I did. Well, I came up to Cincinnati.
You came up that to Cincinnati. Heck. So you came up just for the playoffs that
just
year?
For the playoffs, yeah. We actually played this dog. We played this guy. Freaking Milwaukee.
How many games did you guys – did you play
– You were in Milwaukee up, dog?
You're
you
fucking
were
right. Yeah. Bruce City, baby. Bruce City.
Yeah.
We were good in Milwaukee, too, and we'd always battle Cincy.
Oh, you lost to the Ducks, though.
It was our – you guys,
lost
you guys
to the
were
Cincy
our
Ducks.
Rivals. Yeah, but fuck
Game
Mark
7,
Popper,
baby.
Were they the Cincinnati Ducks?
Remember we beat them, and then we went on to play Chicago, who had an absolute wagon.
Oh, man. They had, like, Stephen Weiss and all those boys. Oh, yeah. And they were flying to games. So Chicago would fly to games. The Chicago American League team. So we would leave after the game in Chicago, jump on the bus 9 hours to fucking Cincinnati.
Yikes.
Well, they would stay and then get on their private bird in the morning and almost beat us there. It gets like,
oh, yeah.
We like get off the bus. We're like, holy fuck. When do we play again tomorrow? Shit.
Oh, buddy. Remember when we lost in Chicago? I wanted to go home and they were like, well, ride back on the bus with the boys back to Cincinnati. And I was like, okay, whatever. And it took us like almost 14 hours to get home because there was roads that were closed.
Oh, yeah, we got stuck in construction. Oh. And fucking the worst part is we ran out of booze on the bus, too. That's when we really started panicking.
Well, I learned how to drink beer on the bus, though, that trip. Yeah. That was,
but at this
stage
junior. Of the game, do you know that Getzlaff is like a special guy, special player yet, or has he not hit that stride yet?
In the NHL?
No,
Collins, for sure. It was just a... It was the lockout year for one, right?
Yeah.
So it was the AHL became like a young NHL.
Right. High quality
league, fucking tough games every night, still a lot of rivals, but you had every team's best young players down in there. And Getzy will attest to this. Young kids nowadays don't really get a taste of the AHL anymore. Look at guys like Shea Weber, I'm going to just throw out a bunch, but Ryan Suter, him, Pears, Penner, Lupel. They all had to go play in the minors at some point. Whether it was just
five minutes, five games,
15 games. Some teams just knew that you had to keep young guys kind of in check and realize that the NHL is the best league in the world, and it takes a lot to stay up here and to be here. But we all knew Getzy was going to be a fucking incredible player and a Hall of Fame guy and a fucking career Anaheim Mighty Duck.
I hope you're on the Hall of Fame voting ballot.
I am.
I hope you get on there.
If Missing Curfew gets on there, you got our vote here at Missing Curfew.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We're
going to
do a Missing Curfew Hall of Fame anyway.
There yeah, we should. But
fuck.
No, that would be an interesting Hall of Fame.
On and off.
That's a Hall of Fame.
Whole different set of...
Totally. Of morals.
Getzy, I just want to ask you about back in the day of these World Junior teams you played on. I remember watching you guys... I was in the OHL then, obviously, and just how good you guys were. And they still talk about you guys being... you played the 2 years, right?
Like, yep.
Being the two best World Junior teams ever. So just as a young kid, I know you represented your country a lot, but that team was a fucking wagon, right?
Yeah, it was a special... obviously, the first year was... I was the younger portion of that, but we were with our group that are of 85s that basically all kind of came up together. And we went... And that was one of the biggest... I still, to this day, say that was one of the biggest learning curves I ever went through as a player, because we went over to Finland and we ended up losing in the gold medal game to the Americans.
Oh, yeah.
And
tough loss.
That was when the one bounced on Fleury, right?
Yeah, when Fleury shot it off the back. No, he shot it off the back of Coburn and it went in. And
fuck, I remember that, yeah.
Those feisty Americans.
Yeah, that was it, hey? Just never give up. But, yeah, so that was still one of the biggest learning experiences in my career, having to go through that. And then that next year we came in, and again, we were talking about the lockout, how much the league benefited the American League. Well, the Western League that year was awesome because all of us guys that were supposed to probably make our NHL debut ended up back in junior again because we weren't allowed to play in the American League.
That's Right.
So we played that whole year, and you know, and after that, the World Juniors were at Christmas, so it was we had everybody there, and what a fun team to be part of, and that was kind of a great learning experience on that end too, because I got to be part of a team that was expected to do everything. We were expected to win. We were expected to dominate, and we ended up going through that tournament the way we wanted to.
You know what I love about Canada and hockey? In America, nobody cares. The way the country rallies around the World Juniors and all that,
yeah.
You don't get that here. You don't talk about, oh, my God, the Cyclones, the Island Cyclones are fucking making a big run. They're taking – it's like it's either the big leagues or nobody cares, right? And yeah. And – like the World Juniors, it's like a big deal, right?
Yeah, you got the nation behind you, buddy.
And literally.
And girls are just all over you the whole 2 weeks, especially if you play. You play in Canada? Or was it North Dakota?
We played North Dakota, yeah.
Okay, half.
When did the Americans win the World Juniors?
Oh, they've done well.
They've done well lately. Yeah, they've done well.
They
have a good program now.
People were
fucking
like,
Miracle on Ice.
People were like, hey, congratulations. I'm like, on what?
On
like,
what?
The World Juniors. I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, really. Boys were buzzing.
You didn't have it on the TVs at Gold, did you?
Yeah. Boys were buzzing.
I know. And back
that's Canada, always a safe one to say.
And back in Canada, the people there is nonstop. Like you wake up Boxing Day. Even when I go home, still this day, like I wake up Boxing morning. I'm excited to watch that World Juniors.
What is the youngest league or age range where that people can still get fired up about? Like, okay, no, that's not true. Like the Little League World Series in the U.S.,
yeah,
people could get it's a little fired event. Up, get a little. What's the youngest sort of age range
World
team?
Juniors.
World Juniors is probably.
Or in the Pee Wee Quebec tournament is fucking legit. Yeah.
I never
that's,
played in that.
So if you're
that?
Talking no. Little League World Series,
never
that's
east.
Exactly what it is.
Is it like the Little League World
I played
Series?
In it. Yeah. I got a fucking
isn't that the one where your
there.
Name's on the trophy? What is that? Your name's on what trophy?
Participation medal.
Yeah. No, but Cons, to answer your question, Pee Wee hockey is 13-year-olds, so Little League. And Quebec has hosted this tournament for over fucking, it's got to be 60, 70 years now. Gretzky's playing in it. Lemieux's playing in it.
And
Ovechkin's
the best players
in
the world come?
Yeah, yeah.
They bring
so,
teams?
So it's 300 teams separated in five divisions based on population or quality of hockey. So my hometown team of Fort McMurray went 1 year. It was like 93. I was a young peewee kid at the time, 13. And we played seven games in a row. And if you lose one game, you're out of the tournament. But every game is played in the NHL arena, the Quebec Nordiques old arena. So you win one game, you go on to the next. You win that one, you go on to the next. And fuck, we won seven.
Winner go home.
And on the last day, the last day are the championship teams. And there's usually five games, five divisions. And fuck, you go out there. We played a team from like Rampart, Quebec, or I don't know what the fuck, I forget it now, but we kicked the shit out of them. I think we won 5-4. I scored my only goal of the tournament, game winner in the final game.
Of course.
And this team in Fort McMurray is sitting with 40,000 people, and we'll talk about when I brought Getzy up there for my golf tournament, but it exploded. It was like the coolest thing forever, you know, for anyone in that town.
Well, Edmonton has that brick tournament too.
That's
pretty big.
That's a novice one,
yeah.
Correct? Yeah. And that's Mike Comrie's old man, Bill Comrie, started the brick, but also started a tournament played in West Edmonton Mall, believe it or not, in the mall, in the arena there. And these are kids, again, invitation from all over the world. And there's a lot of NHLers coming out of that tournament.
And is that when parents start to get feisty?
No, they start now.
That's when the moms.
I have a 9 and 7-year-old that I go to the rink and parents are.
The moms
right,
are getting
crazy,
licked.
Right? Like at 9 and 7, the parents are like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, yeah. They're all trying to breed an NHL player.
Right.
I know. My, every
if only
time
it was that easy.
Every time I go home, I run into people who have kids who are like, so my son's playing AAA novice. You think he's got a chance? I'm like, maybe. I don't know.
What chances the next guy?
I mean, if I made it, anyone could probably make it. But he's a novice. I would say just take a breather.
Less is more, parents.
No, but but seriously, you get that a lot, right? Like, yo, you got to check out my kid. He blah, blah, blah. He's this and
a
that.
Lot.
He's, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of that.
I mean, yeah, I went and watched my one buddy Jason Craig's kid, Colby, play. And just what Getzy said, the intensity of the parents at this game. Like, I went down and stood in the corner with him. Like, he was standing by himself, and he was intense. But then the fans, the parents yelling in the crowd, I'm like, wow, this is next level kind of
stuff.
Listen,
I'll get calls from people be like, yo, my kid is so cute. He's a movie star. he crushed it in Romeo and Juliet in the school play.
Nice.
I think the kid's the goods. Do you have any advice? I said, do you have an agent for him? I do have advice.
Yeah.
Run 100 miles an hour in the other direction.
Yeah, you didn't.
The answer is no.
Cons, you didn't see. I brought headshots with my kids.
You did? Okay. There,
and they're good looking. Take a look at them. Right. Tall, handsome, blonde hair.
I think he's got a chance.
I mean, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Like, seriously. You know, it's
Your life's terrible, Cons. Yeah.
No, I'm saying, but it's a bad road to come down, is all I'm saying. If you end up there and that happens, but like, go to college, finish college, and then if you want to be an actor, you go down that miserable road.
Yeah, no, I've been on set with you for long days. You got us in the movie Entourage, and you warned us going in. He's like, oh, it's kind of like, you know, me being in the water, but coming on the bench for the game with the boys. Like, yeah, it's cool in the first period. Like, hey, get some. Here you go. Here's your water. Grab a towel. Good shift, Getsy. But if it goes
and
in
then
the,
you can't bail. In the
if
third
it goes
period,
into du- if it goes into double overtime, you're like, Getsy, get your own fucking water bottle. Yeah. Hey, Getsy, let's turn the clocks back a bit. Obviously, you've had an amazing career, but let's go back to where it started, where me and you met, buddy. The draft in 2003. Obviously, with you knew Paris, started your relationship, and just talk about when you first came pro. What guy for you that year, your first year, was maybe a veteran guy that took you out for dinner, maybe missed curfew, that kind of got you in the league and got you going?
We missed curfew a few times back then. Hey?
That Ducks team missed the curfew a lot.
Yeah, we had a nice time.
Yeah,
I didn't even know there was a curfew.
That's probably why you guys
first
won.
First couple years.
Good teams who win have fun and fucking play hard.
Also pre-social media, right?
Yeah.
That changes things a lot
media,
for these young
kids. There wasn't a lot of...
There was a single Getsy.
Yeah. We had a couple good years.
That was pre-social media, though.
We had a lot of those kind of old school guys like Marshy and Tamo.
All right, wait. Who's
Todd Marchant.
Todd Marchant.
Tamo Solani.
T-Bone.
Is he your assistant GM now, Todd Marchant? Like, what is he? What is he doing?
No, he's a director of player development.
So he still works
scouting,
with the Ducks.
Yeah. He takes care of all our
Do you remember in Vancouver, we're going to talk about the Roxy again here, Cons.
Oh, the Roxy. These guys love
You haven't been to the Roxy yet, Cons?
Cathedral.
I did a Disney movie there in 98, up and away.
I'd love to see you in a Disney movie.
Disney Plus, check it out.
Secretariat, too. Wasn't that a Disney flick you're into? Or?
Yeah, but that was a movie. This is like a Disney movie. I was in Vancouver. I might have gone to the Roxy.
We had a good – well, this is the year they won the Cup, but we were so good that we got off to an unbelievable start. But anyways, we go through Western Canada, and our whole team goes out. Young guys to old guys. Marchant Pronger ends up at the Roxy.
Of course.
Like, for Chris Pronger to show up at the Roxy, he's like it's a fucking big deal, right? But – that's how our team was. Like, from young guys.
Why is that a big deal? He's not.
Was he like Luongo?
He's a superstar. Like, you know, right? Mm-hmm.
But he also, Prongs was kind of like, that whole year, he was like, I'll party when we win, was kind of his mentality all the time. Because his whole mindset was like, he needed that cup.
I like it.
And we traded for him that summer. And it was kind of like our team was all, that team was developed destined to win that cup that year. And
was he the captain that time?
No, Niedermeyer.
You guys gave up Loophole for him.
We gave up loops. Yeah.
Ever come in and win.
But anyway, so for him to go out was he didn't do it very often. But that group, we had old guys that kind of did both. They showed us young guys the ropes of how to not only how to go out, but how to show up the next morning. And that was the biggest thing that we learned when we were kids. That a lot of times they don't now is that it didn't matter what you did at night; you had to show up to work the next morning.
Right. I have a question that I've always wanted to ask somebody. How, when you are going to become the captain, you are that somebody.
Okay.
How does it come down?
Yeah, you took my chair. You are that somebody.
That you're going to get both you. Obi's bent out of shape. Obi,
just for our listeners, Obi is pissed about this chair.
Listen, Kevin Dillon gets the boot from that chair when Bob Saget's in the house. Gary Busey sat in that chair. That's just the way it goes. It's the guest chair.
And no, listen, I know I love Ryan Getzlaff more than anyone, but I think we got 11 episodes in the can. I come in for this one, and you shift me over. So
he's wore that in really nice. Though.
How does it come down? Really how does it come down that you're going to wear the C? Do you suspect it's coming? Do you know it's coming? How does it happen?
Well, mine was a little different than obviously when I was young. I came in and Scotty Niedermeyer came there the same year that I was a rookie, and it's Scott Niedermeyer. So they just kind of just said you're the captain.
And, he became the captain. Right?
Yeah, they were like, you're going to come sign with the Ducks and you're going to be the captain and then we're going to go on and win things.
Yeah.
I think that I kind of came up, my mentality was just that's what I wanted to do as cheers.
By the way, for those of you listening at home, Upshult has banged his wine glass off the microphone.
Yeah. He was cheersing us. But anyways, so it was kind of a I felt like it was going to be a natural progression on the way I got to come up. I didn't get rushed into it. I didn't get pushed into it as a young player. I was got to learn from Scotty. Prongs was our captain for a little while when Scotty took a little vacation there for a year. But, you know, I got to watch these guys for 4 or 5 years before I was named the captain. So, but anyway, so then Saku Koivu was on our team. He'd come from Montreal. He was another, obviously, captain for a long time. And we did a vote in the locker room. Randy just said, he was like, we're going to do a vote, blah, 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 to make sure that things are the way you guys want them within our room. And then I ended up getting the captaincy that year. And me and Saku had a talk before it happened, and he was great about it. He was supportive, you know, kind of understood that I had been here this long and that I was kind of going to be here for a long time. And
you were taking over the reins. Got a Jeter vibe about him, doesn't he?
He does have a Jeter
vibe about him. Going in the reverse, how, and again, I don't, whatever, I don't, why do I give a shit about the San Jose Sharks? But when they took the captain, the C off of Joe Thornton's jersey, I was sick.
Yeah, that whole situation in San Jose was...
it went from three of them, right?
It was hard to see, yeah. They did it from Patty, too.
It went from Joe to Patty to Joe Pavelski, right?
Yeah, but they took it away from Jumbo and Patty. Marlowe, and they right took away. The assistants away 1 year. And yeah, it was kind of
what
a weird...
What is that about?
I don't know. That to me was a very weird thing. And I remember talking to Joe about it, and I don't know if you've met Jumbo before, but
I don't know. I've Joe been a Thorne. Big fan of his ever since he started playing.
He's an absolutely great dude, and his whole mentality, he's like a big kid. So he kind of, for him, he probably didn't even faze him. I'm sure he was just kind of like, well, I just like being at the rink.
Really,
so,
though,
whatever.
I mean, well, yeah, of course.
For me, it would. For me, it would 100%. I would be like, you know what? If that's the direction the team wanted to go, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. That's the direction you want to go, but I'm going to move on. Like, I'm not going to
give up,
like,
the C as well. Say, look, I don't think I can do the job. You give it up. Clark Gillies gave up the captaincy to Dennis Potvin.
Well, and I think.
Hey, speaking of Jumbo,
something funny about that?
Hey, speaking of
something funny about that?
Hey, speaking of Jumbo,
last major sports franchise to win four in a row. You got a problem with that?
There we go.
Did you ever see Getsy and Jumbo go right off the opening faceoff? Getsy, tell us the story, because obviously you did it. But
this sounds like a social clip.
No, this is fucking in the playoffs.
Let's cue that up.
Getsy, how'd it go down? Because I remember watching fucking. I had goosebumps, being like, "Fucking right, Getsy. How did it go?"
Oh, it was awesome. It was that was when hockey was still fun, and we did. We did stuff like that, but it was we were the eighth seed. San Jose was number one seed, and we ended up we were up 3-1 on them in the series, and we were in San Jose, and Jumbo was like, he came up to me like when we were skating around before, and he's like, "We're going," and I'm like, "No, we're not," and he's like, "No, we're fighting," and I'm like, "No, I'm not fighting you, Joe," and
because you guys were up in the series.
Because we were up 3-1,
so
and I was like,
"You don't want to change momentum, Carl." Right. So,
I fight on my terms.
Our team was we were flowing, and we were obviously the underdog in the whole series. So it was kind of like,
it doesn't
there's no advantage to me doing this. And so I was, and he's like, "Well, I'm dropping my gloves." I'm like, "Well, you're going to look like an idiot because I'm not fighting you." So, so he doesn't. He slashed me a couple times, followed me around a little bit, but then it kind of just went away, and we ended up losing that game. And then so. I remember sitting in the locker room, and Paris sat beside me for years. And so we were game six at home. We were up 3-2. And I looked over at Paris, and I was like, we were just about to go out. And I'm like, "I'm fighting Joe on the face-off." And he was like, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, "Yep." And so we went out there, and I said to Jumbo right off
that's
the hop, I was like,
"That's a good cap.
That's a fucking,
fucking good cap."
I was like, "Jumbo, I'm like, we're going." Like. And he's like, "Okay." And then we fought, and then we ended up winning game six and won the series. And so I was just kind of like, that was one of those
that's
momentum
a fucking
fights.
Leader there, Connell. Any one of those guys on the Islanders. Lee did it, though.
Anders Lee fought Tom Wilson.
I agree. Lee, that guy fucks.
Was
I'll
it a
credit.
Spirited bout that you had? With
it was. Guy. It was fun. I'd never fought Joe before. And I don't know. That might have been the first time I fought a guy that had arms that long. Like, I'm a big guy, so normally, like, I can kind of stretch guys out and... But yeah, no, Jumbo's long and...
He's fucking tough, too. And he's tough. I was like, when I saw it was going to go down, I'm like, all right, Getz. Like, because I know Getsy can chuck it, but Jumbo, like...
Can Jumbo? Can
yeah,
like,
man.
Back
like,
in the
he,
day,
yeah,
too,
big,
right?
Strong, righty. Like, he's bigger, like, taller than Getsy. Like,
just watching this whole thing, watching him tell that story, just him and Jumbo, two guys that you just look at and, like, similar paths on their career. Jumbo hasn't won, but, like, two guys that their players love to play for. They're both fucking big and strong. They're freaks. They hold on to the puck all game. They have fucking, how many assists? I don't know, 1,000 assists. Yeah. It's like,
Jumbo's got a few.
Fuck. Yeah. Two similar guys. I just love to see that shit. That's hockey. It's exactly what you call it.
And
that's
at
hockey.
The end of every fight, when you guys say good fight or whatever, the only person, your boy Loophole, the only guy I've ever heard curse at a guy like when they're breaking up the fight, you motherfucker. You ever everybody's like, good fight. Yo, everybody congratulates each other except
We could look up that fight really quick, probably. Hey?
It was probably a pretty short one, too, right? I would imagine it's short.
I don't think there's too many of those.
Spirited.
Yeah, seriously, though, like, that's not the. And I was part of the Ducks organization. That's not what you learned coming through, right? Yeah. Like that's was ingrained in you, and you still like. You text me a couple times this year, fired up about stuff that happened, and you're like, "Man, Obes, it's just different now." And I'm like, and, you know, you can still see that you have that competitive edge. And we talked about it throughout the playoffs. Like, you know, if things aren't going your way, that's how you know we used to deal with it. Let's change momentum. Let's get physical. And now, I mean, you're still in the league, obviously. It's just it's not like that, right?
No, it's just different. I mean, there's so many things that are so many things about our game are different now. Not all of them bad. Some of them have moved the game forward, and some of the things I'd like to see go back to the way they used to be. But because I remember even my first year, we went into Calgary and we were 7 or 8 seed. I can't remember, and we ended up playing the Flames that had a great team. We took them to 7 games, and same thing in that series. We Francois Beauchemin fought Aginla,
That
and
was
knocked
unreal.
Him down and. And it was a good fight for both those guys, but
it gets everybody fired up.
It pulled
right?
the whole momentum for our team, and we end up winning the series.
Yeah,
you just don't see that much anymore.
It didn't help this year. Your team was super, super young, right?
Like well, this year,
you guys, it was you and Miller, maybe one other guy over the age of 30.
Hey, why you guys say that on the air, man?
I'm just saying. I'm saying you would benefit from having a fucking few other guys that you could crush beers with and talk about good old days. Like fucking having a guy, and what I think Shaddy's going to bring to that
trying
team.
Trying to get a contract?
Well, I was gonna say, he's going to be a good addition to the
he's
team.
He's going to have Shaddy. Who else did you guys add?
Not to put you on the spot.
Shaddy would be great.
But Shaddy is exactly what you can bring. Like, he will bring old school back into your lineup, especially for you. You just need a good guy that has like little coffees and Baileys with you in the morning and fucking shoots the shit.
And Getsy, as a captain, do you ever have to grab a young guy or a new guy and like, not that you got to blow up a spot, but do you ever have to pull somebody aside and say, hey man, that's not how we do things here. Like, we don't do that. And like, you know, I'm the captain. This is how it goes. Or you can pack your fucking shit.
Yeah, it's funny. When you bring that stuff up, that's been the biggest like change that I've noticed. I've had to actually talk to people about how to change, how to deal with kids now and kind of have a different approach. Because when I was young, when we came in the league, if I did something stupid, Chris Pronger would kick a garbage can at me and tell me I'm an idiot and that I can't do that. Or whatever, or Randy would kick us in the ass, and you know, not physically. I'm not trying to get Randy in trouble.
You said that's not how it works.
So listen, before you keep going, so Randy Carlisle was our coach, and Randy would abuse us young guys.
Norris Trophy winner.
Norris Trophy. Me, just Pence, let him tell you. Perry, and Getsy. And Getsy was the only one that had enough balls back in the day. Like, okay, Randy.
Well, he knew he could.
Because Getsy knew eventually that, you know, you were going to be where we were. But I remember Randy would just be all over us and Getsy like, yeah, okay, Randy. But anyways.
Yeah, me and Randy had our bouts, that's for sure. We had a lot of fuck you matches out there, that's for
Captains
sure.
Captains and coaches always do, though. But
when
that's
players
why
are yelling, a lot of times I always wonder when player, I know that a player is yelling at a coach, you don't turn around and look at him. You yell at him, but you're looking at the ice, right?
Oh, no, I did a lot of this.
Are you fucking kidding me?
But you know what? That was, you know, that's one thing that I learned as I got older is not to do that stuff. It's not really how you deal with things with coaches and stuff. And, he's not trying to embarrass me and I don't try and embarrass him.
Right.
If I have a problem, generally it's, we do it in the office after and kind of hash it out.
You're just an emotional guy though, too, right?
Well, it's just the way I play.
And I had that problem and obviously I wasn't, you know, just an average D-man, but I wasn't trying to, like, embarrass him, but I was
above
average. Thanks, Kenzie. But I was pissed.
500 plus.
Next thing you know, the coach is yelling at you. You're turning back. You're like, fuck you. And you're totally right. You learn as your career goes on, right? As I got older, I'm like, okay, listen, he's yelling at me. If I'm going to talk to him.
Some guys are the whipping boys.
Talk to him after,
Some guys have a leash this long.
Yeah.
Obes, you and I, we had a leash fucking.
Fuck, it was wrapped around my neck.
A little short 3-footer.
Yeah, but I probably needed that.
It could have brought yours in a little further.
It actually got to the point where I would actually tell the coach, like, listen, we have a lot of younger players. You can fucking rip me to send a message to them. Like, it's just part of the process of them learning. They don't, they can't, you can't chirp these guys. You can't rip them. But if they see,
but why fucking, not?
They
why?
Say, it's, so, the game has changed a bit.
It's the way they've been brought up. There's a lot more of the like positive reinforcement as opposed, right. as opposed to the negative stuff.
And you see every something. I
deal
know.
With, I deal with it with my, even my kids now coming up is that like, my oldest went to a tournament and he was at a, it was a track meet or something at school and he got third place and they gave him a ribbon and he came and brought it over to me and he gave it to me. He's like, what am I going to do with this thing? He's like, I don't know why they gave this to me. I didn't win.
Yeah.
And
I like it.
Yes.
That's good.
Like, that's exactly right.
He's a competitor already.
Yeah. No, and we don't need the participation stuff. And that's, right. but that's how, you know, sports in general, a lot of it is like, and life in general. I mean, even in the business world, you're seeing more and more of the entitlement, you belong to, you need to be there before you earn it kind of thing. And so the kids, a lot of them, the problem is that you say the wrong thing and they just kind of either shut down or they spite you. Like yeah. when Randy used to give it to us, it's not that we, you know, wanted to play harder for him, but you almost did it just to, because he was in your face.
Yeah.
And like, or
pissing you off.
Yeah. Or if like Prongs and those guys got in my face about things, they'd earn that. And that was kind of the thing that was like, well, if he's yelling at me for it, I'm probably messing up because you know he's been in this league a long time.
I think it really does come from a good place.
Yeah. But if you have kids, what method of coaching? Again, assuming you take the physicality out of it, nobody can touch your kid. But would you want your kid to be coached sort of more the old school version or the new school version? Because maybe there is something to be said for the positive reinforcement. I don't know.
I think it's just finding that mixture. I think that it's a fine line. But I all the coaches that I've been through with my kids play baseball, football, hockey, everything, and all I've asked of them is just to hold my kid accountable for things. That's it. And you know whatever else happens, if he's not doing what you expect him to do, then hold him accountable.
Right.
Whether that's sitting him on the bench or telling him how it is, you know, they don't get in his face anymore.
Yeah.
At that age, my oldest is 9, but it is that point where I remember I went to a hockey tournament and my son was being an absolute, you know what, on the way up there. And when we got to the tournament, I told the coach, I said, he's not playing the first period. And the coach said,
Shut him down.
And he goes, why? And I said, cause he was being rude to his kid or his siblings all the way up here. And the coach was like, perfect. No problem. And so he sat him on the bench.
You know, we can really use him on the power play. How about if we agree that we just put him out there on the power play?
Can you put a half wall these two?
But that's just it. The coach was like, he was like, you know what? He's like, that's great. And he sat him there and that was good.
So it's about accountability and not necessarily kicking him in the ass or humiliating. 100%. It's about accountability.
I have a story about that back when I was a kid. My dad was my coach. And this is actually when I was a goal scorer. So we were up a lot of goals, and I come down. My dad's like, the guy was wide open, and he's like, pass the fucking puck. So I pass it over to him. The guy misses the net, and I come back to the bench. I'm like, see, this is why I don't fucking pass it.
Oh, yeah.
And back then, you could touch your kids. Wham! Hammers me against the fucking wall. He said, have a seat. Next thing you know, gets yuppie. They come back to tie it up, and now I'm sitting on the bench. He's like, so the assistant coach, his name was Yogi. He was like, fucking put him. My dad's like, if you want to put him back on the fucking ice, you go tell him. So Yogi came down. He's like, get back out there. Scored the OT winner. I was like, see, Dad, I told you what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
So your dad coached you too, right?
Yeah, just a novice, boys.
My first year, second year of Pee Wee hockey, it was right when they had the stop signs that you had to put on the back of jerseys. You remember that in Canada? Just so you wouldn't hit guys from behind. So my dad's coaching us. We play this tournament in Spruce Grove, Alberta. And my old man's the coach. And I'm obviously one of our better players. First game I go out, and Obes, I fucking just hammer a guy from behind, right? Boop, 5 minutes out of the game. So my dad fucking sits me down. He's like, they got the fucking stop signs in the back of the jersey. You got to, like, you know, tone it down a little bit. Yeah. Getsy will tell you. I always go fucking full up.
There's no stop sign.
Second game, I go out, first shift. I'm beelining at this guy. He turns, wham, bam, right in the fucking boards. Kid goes down, another 5 minute bench. My dad is losing it on the bench, like to the point where the ref is kicking me off through the sideboards, not near our bench. And my dad's ready to he's ready to come down and grab me. But what I did learn back then, though, is like, you know, you got to buy in. The rules are rules. Fucking tone her down. You can't be just crushing kids from behind.
You learn that, hey?
I mean, I try. Yeah.
Well, let's pull up a couple clips and I'll be running into the boards because somebody moved.
Speaking of whipping boys, I want to talk about the whipping boys because I played for this guy, Bradshaw, and this always, we play golf, obviously, at the same club at Big Canyon, and all the boys always call Obes six.
Yes.
Why?
So this is why, Con. So. I
have a few ideas.
It's a minor league. That was your number in the minors.
I wore number six in the minors. So
tell us the story.
Yeah, Getzy came down to play in the playoffs with us, and Bradshaw, who actually, without him, I would have never made the NHL. I got so much better that year.
Coach.
Yeah. A, because of the lockout, and B, because of Shaughzy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been a penalty killer in the NHL other than Shaughzy, too, in St. Louis.
Yeah, Shaughzy's a great guy, but he would do video and just, like, rip the fucking boys, right? And instead of saying, oh, Obi, what the fuck is Obi doing here? He would say, can someone tell me what the fuck six is doing here? And then he'd go up the next place, like, look at six here. Does anyone have any fucking clue what six is doing? Where is six?
How is six not in the frame?
I see another t-shirt coming here. Yeah, what the fuck is six doing?
By the way, Getzy comes down. At this point, me and Getzy have been through two summer camps. So Getzy gets there. I'm all excited he's here. And then Getzy hears this, right? Like, here's like the first meeting's like, okay, look at six turning over here. Look at six fucking spinning away. Look at six. So for the rest of my fucking career, and still to this day, Getzy calls me six. So we'd be playing against him.
That's your new nickname.
And
for me,
I was never on the ice against Getzy unless I got caught out in the fucking line chain. Unless I got caught in my own zone and came over the bench fucking healthy, fresh. I'm like, here comes Getzlaff. So I would line up on a face-off in the neutral zone and against the Ducks, and Getzy would just be like, hey, six, when are you going to fucking turn one over, six? Hey, six. And finally, I turned to him like, I'm trying to play a fucking NHL game here right now, bud.
We're just having a good time.
And Getzy's laughing, and still to this day.
That's a great nickname.
Yeah, so Getzy's still this day. But I remember just hearing from the bench, I get it. Like, especially the Honda Center, ice isn't great. It comes back to me. He's like, hey, six, don't fuck it up. I'm like,
that California.
I tried to
ice.
Get him to number six when he came back to the Ducks for camp for 1 year.
I signed a two-way with the Ducks, and Getzy's like, I'm going to try to get
you
six.
Who was wearing it? Who was wearing six?
Nobody.
I don't know.
They wouldn't
anybody
give it
was.
To you.
No,
it
but
was
they
available,
were like,
and they wouldn't. Well, give it to you?
He was like a young guy coming back. Yeah, there. We got to give him a high number.
Yeah, I was going to the minors. Where I was going? It was just going to be for.
You want to be 67?
They wouldn't let him wear six. They say he's too big now.
So fuck.
He needs two numbers.
Yeah. So that training camp, I go on a two way, and then they signed Sheldon Brookbank to a PTO. So me and Brookbank, we are going through this NHL training camp like it's a fucking fantasy camp for us. Like, we know we're not making the team, right? So
we do the
fucking fitness testing together. Like, we're supposed to put us in different groups. Like, nah, put us in the same group here, right? So we do the fitness test together. We're hanging out at the hotel, like, back in the day. I'm like, Billy, this is going to be my last NHL training camp. I'm glad it's with you, buddy. It was a fucking complete shit.
Tell you what, I'm not doing this again, Billy.
Yeah. And that was it for me. But.
Oh.
Do you think ever, Getzy, you could see yourself in the front office GM type guy, maybe, potentially? And if so,
would you give O'Brien a job?
Number six.
Six.
I'll take
second assistant. Not look.
Might put it in the rafters.
I mean, like, listen, me Obi, I don't know that you're, you know, ready for the assistant GM position, but you could be a guy. I don't know. I would take Obi as a guy to walk younger guys through some stuff. I'm serious.
Buddy, there's a lot of guys that I would take.
Actually serious, Shane. I don't want you to think I'm being sarcastic. I think he'd be.
No, he is. It's exactly what we've just been talking about the whole time. Like that, those guys around that still know how the game was and how it, you know, how we believe it should be played and how to direct that. Because it's a lot easier to take advice from someone who's been through it. And, you know, you can bring in superstars, all that kind of things that didn't really go through the daily grind. And I say this all the time. You know, I talk to our coaches. I talk to past guys. I don't necessarily know how to deal with guys that are in and out of the lineup because I never went through it. Most things in the game I've kind of been through.
That's why you need to change.
I can help you out with that, bud.
Hey, missing games. This fucking show could be called missing fucking games,
healthy,
too.
Healthy Scratch. Welcome to the podcast called Healthy Scratch. This is how you do it, Getzy. You say, hey, kid, you're not fucking going tonight, all right? Get a skate in and stay ready.
Right, listen. Don't worry about it, Getzy. I'll tell him. But listen, you're in the presser tonight. You sit in the press box. Stay warm.
Yeah, in all honesty, when I text with Getzy and stuff or talk to him, play golf with him, I ask him the same thing, Cons, because I think Getzy could be a good, you know, a GM. 100%. Especially for the Ducks, you've been there forever. And
he just has front office vibe about him. He's done it the right way.
I would definitely lean towards that than coaching.
Yeah.
I would definitely see myself more in that, that side of things.
Coaching, even I don't know if I would ever want to coach.
What's the big difference? I mean, aside from the obvious, I mean, coaching, you're like, well, I don't remember any drills we did. Skates, right? I mean,
yeah, coaching's a day-to-day
lot of
stuff,
work. But a lot
and
of work.
Long hours. And a lot of video, which I hate more than anything. Video's crushing our game.
They fucking hate it, too.
These guys were ripping the iPads. How do you feel about the iPads behind the bench?
Hate them.
Yeah.
We took ours off the bench for 3 weeks this year.
Nice.
Because I get so sick of guys. The guys come off the ice and look at a scoring chance that they had, like they're going to have that same scoring chance again. Like, it's like, oh, I should have won high glove. Yeah, no, I get it. The goalie was there. There's a goalie, too, just so you know.
That goalie's making 8 fucking bananas. So right. Yeah,
he might not put his glove in that same spot next time
Shane,
you come down.
What is it? Right side titty?
Short side titty.
Short side titty. Gal gets, he can go short side titty. I've seen that happen.
But yeah, no, there's too much video. But there's also another thing to coaching, too. Like, I do a lot of things based on what I see, and like in my head, it's hard to explain like to a kid like why you do that or how you do that, because it's just kind of like I see that, so I do that kind of thing. And
hockey
it's
hockey IQ,
yeah, and it's different. There's different ways to coach kids, and I just don't know if I have the coaching bug.
It's even like, and I know what he's saying, because Scotty Niedermeyer, Norm, who I love and he's a beauty. He came down when I was in San Diego. And would come down and work with our defensemen. Mm-hmm. And not that Norm was bad at it. It was just hard for him to, like, you could see he's struggling because, fuck, the game was so easy for him. Like, how do you explain, totally. Like...
I mean, I played for Gretzky. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Not right. The best players are not going to be the best coaches.
Yeah.
They might be able to scream at the fucking refs pretty well. Because Gretz could fucking...
Well, I learned how to do that from
Gretz could chirp a ref. So could some of the best. But when it comes to just X's and O's and trying to get guys to deliver... like a play that they see in their head fucking over and over again, it's not exactly
with Gretzky, is it the kind of thing where he's frustrated, like, how do you not see that? And you're like, yes. Because I'm not Wayne Gretzky, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and how do you not see that, but just how to just explain to a guy that this is how it's going to play out. Like, playing without the puck makes some of the best players, right? Like, where to go on the ice, how to see a play that's going to happen before it's even made. And that you can't teach. That's something that I think Getsy, some of your boys right now, Ryder and Gavin, are probably learning right now as they play hockey. This is when they're probably going to take in all the information on where to go on the ice, you know, how to fucking support their teammates so, you know, they can continue a play. There's so many different factors that make good players. I think they learn it when they're kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but let's go back to the thing about Tamo, man. But that guy could light up a fucking ref, couldn't he?
Like, could he ever?
Fuck, I love Tamo Solani so much, by the way. And he was just like, the ref, you know, he's like, Gets, you can probably tell him about everybody. He's like, I can't believe they fucking pay you out here. I'll buy you out tonight.
He tried to buy out a ref one time.
He's like, how much are they saying? They're like, fuck off. They don't even give a shit.
Well,
right?
With Tamo, but that was, again, the same refs nowadays compared to what they were then. Is completely changed. Refs now, you say, I got rung up this year.
Rung up.
A little baseball term for you. Like, hey, we're in the playoffs right now.
I like that, rung up.
I got rung up this year, and I literally didn't even, I think I looked at him wrong, and I said something like completely like calm. I didn't swear at him, nothing. He's like 10. And I was like, wait, what?
Because you gave him a dirty look?
Yeah, it was like
an intimidating look. You pulled a Rasheed Wallace.
It goes back. You can't chirp your coach. You can't chirp, coaches can't chirp your players. You can't chirp the refs. The fucking game of hockey is about chirping.
But I mean, I think if I was a ref and somebody cursed me, I'd go, fuck you. I would just curse right back at him. Like, what are you going
to. And that's what it used to be. You used to get back and forth. And like, there's still some of the old school guys around that you can get into.
Shut up and skate, you fucking loser.
Seriously. I've had refs tell me off, and like, good for them. I mean, I probably deserved it, you know? Like, but that part of the game's changed a little bit, too. I don't think Tamo would survive too many games.
Oh, Tamo will be on. And you have to deal with the refs every single night. That was one thing about being a captain. Does that ever get kind of old some nights when you're like, I don't want to go talk to this fucking guy right now? Like, he's not going to listen, or it's just going to be.
Well, and there is definitely some refs that I'm like, and there's a couple refs in our league now that I say to my assistants before the game, I'm like, I'm not talking to this guy.
You got to take this.
I'm like, you're with him tonight. Okay, I'm not.
Just because the history with them, right?
Yeah, we have history, and they just don't take my tone the right way, right, or whatever.
You just know that you're going to rub them the wrong way. You're going to end up getting,
and it's going to go south quick.
So. It's like the ex-girlfriend back in the day. Hey, like, ah, you see her at the bar. You're like, ah, I'll buy you here.
Yeah, no matter if you're bringing the
heat. I'm going to stay over there.
Yeah, you're still not side. I'm going to stay over here. Babe.
No matter if you bring the heat or not, she's still going to like you. You're like, fuck, boys. I ruined this one a long time ago. You got to take this.
But, Getsy, that's cool that you say that before the game. So your sister's like Cam or someone, right? We're like, hey. Yeah. I'm not going to talk to Justin St. Pierre tonight because he's a fucking
tool. Oh, I'm always going to talk to Justin.
You like Justin?
Okay, me and Justin get along. But Justin's a guy that he likes to talk more than anyone on the planet.
He's got split personalities, that guy. Some days he's like your best buddy. I think he gets laid the night before the game.
He's a good looking guy. He probably gets laid a lot on the road.
He's got a good tan. Yeah, isn't he?
Great tan.
But then
what
other
do those
days
guys
it's like.
Do? I'd love to interview one of those guys. What do they do?
We need Wes McCauley in here. He's
Wes McCauley.
Would he be allowed to do an interview?
Wes is great.
Are they allowed?
He should be branding himself. He should have his own podcast as is. He's a fucking,
but there's probably weird rules. They probably can't talk much.
Paul Dvorsky.
Bettman's got the
ball. I love Devo.
Fucking Devo was my favorite ref.
Yeah, I love Devo.
Devo, you just talk to him. You know who's good that still does it is, help me out, boys, Kelly.
Sutherland.
Sutherland. Kelly was always great. And listen, as you guys know, I was getting a lot of penalties, so.
No.
I get it. I get it. But
you made better friends with the linesman, so they can get in there when you're getting tagged
like,
a little
bit. Get in unless I'm fighting Getzlaff, then stay the fuck out.
Let them work it out.
But yeah, like the guys, the refs were like, if you could talk to me, it would be way better. Like, I watch games now where, kids don't really talk to the refs at all, but I noticed that there's no real communication, and it's kind of like. Some of the favorite parts were talking to the refs. Like,
but to the refs' credit, I've talked to a few of them about it. And part of that, when we brought in the two ref system, they said it was so much harder to get involved in the game because their buddy could be calling every single penalty.
They don't agree with it, but
they
have to.
Agree. Yeah, yeah. And they kind of like, so they don't really get that thing where they're involved in the game. It's more of like they just kind of call it as they see it. And so that part of it for those guys, because I have talked, a couple refs brought that up to me.
I wish I realized a long time ago that as soon as you get a penalty, the fucking camera goes on you as you go to the box. And I would just be fucking screaming at the ref.
Motherfucker.
And then, of course, my mom's like,
you're
pretty upset.
Mom and your
my mom's like, after the game, you're pretty upset when you got that high sticking penalty. Where are you, Scotty? Like, yeah, I'm sorry, Mom.
Sorry,
Mom. You know, he was bleeding, Scotty. Yeah. You cut him above the eyebrow.
He shouldn't have said what he said, Mom.
Speaking of not a whole lot of veterans out there, Getsy, you are still out there rocking the no visor, which we all respect here at Missing Curfew. How is it out there with every other guy out there wearing a fucking... a visor, and you're still out there, you and only, 10 guys?
Yeah, it's...
It's got to be weird when you line up with
a couple nice scars on your face, cousin.
I got a couple nice scars.
Yeah, I was there for
one. You were there for the bad one, yeah.
You tried to wear the visor, right?
Well, yeah, when I got this one, Scotty was at that game.
In Phoenix.
Shane Doan hit me in the forehead with a slap shot.
It was Shane Doan turnaround clapper. I was right on the ice. It was either hitting me or it gets off.
Where were you on that one?
I was in front of the net, fucking blocking the goalie,
you
man.
Don't block the
goalie. You couldn't have stepped into that one for me, huh?
Sorry,
if you're fucking out of position, you've got to block a shot.
I actually got 18 goals that year. It's one of my best, and that was why I was going to the net hard.
Atta boy.
If you could...
You probably tried to shoot it in after it hit me in the face. Boys, I cucked it. I'm laying
on
there.
And then start chirping the ref.
Is there some nights out there, though, where you're like, if I could take the visors off all these kids out here, how much different that game would be? You must think that, right? Like,
how would that be different? What do you mean?
Guys, they wouldn't fucking be in your face.
Because if you fucking get a stick right here, Cons, you're like, you maybe not go as hard in the corner next time.
So is that what it is? Like, you're a little bit more...
And I've been in a couple fights, too, where I'm like, oh, if this kid didn't have... Because, like, honestly, I've gone into a couple fights where I'm like, I can't punch until I get this guy's helmet off, because if I break my hand, then I'm in way more trouble.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, that's kind of the first goal instead of trying to throw a punch and get ahead in the fight.
It's a lot of money sitting up in the stands.
I never had to worry about that in a fight. I was like, I'm just throwing it away. If I hurt my hand, I get 2 weeks off. Fuck it.
Conley, where are we going, Cons?
I got 2 weeks off jumping a bird to Vancouver.
They can't send me down when I'm hurt. Hey, six.
Obi and I have talked.
Hand. Fuck.
Obi and I have talked about this. We want to bring back. We want to lose the 2-line pass, right, Obi?
We'd like to see them bring the 2-line pass back into the game, Getsy.
Really?
Better for concussions and injuries?
It would slow the game down a bit.
Oh, boys, this could be game changing. I could play five more years, maybe.
Getsy, if they bring the red line back. Fuck, I'm going to go on the fucking Atkins diet. I might come back and try to... You can play until you're 50.
Does it really change the game that much?
It changes the speed of it for sure. Because you're flying the zone. There's so many guys now that, like,
Yeah, it's below the zone.
Bars out.
Yeah, you make a career. I mean, Patrick Kane's a prime example of someone good. That has made a whole career out of it. He's like
jumps the zone, gets
jumps the zone. He knows his D-men know where he is. Right. They, yeah. You know, it's not that he's. I don't want to say he's cheating because Patty's a great player and has played for a long time doing it, but like.
But he's cheating.
But he's cheating. And it's
how
like.
Is he cheating?
I played against him. He'd sneak in behind me if I was out there.
He's cherry picking.
Yeah, well, yeah. He is, but it's part of what makes him him, I guess. Like, you know, he goes out. I don't want to say block a shot. He goes out a little bit left of the lane. And that D-man shoots the puck. He's not stopping there. He's going past that D-man. And his D-men know that. He's out there.
He's
like,
gone.
As soon as that puck's like, and then it's like, oh, well, okay. And it bites him sometimes, but it slows down the whole speed of the game for sure.
And you have to make a play, right? You can't just start rimming the puck. So, like, you'd have to go D to D. And Getzy, this is what Getzy was. I'm one of the best I've ever played with. Like, just find that little, the center finds a little soft area, and you got to make that pass. But
low and slow, we call that.
Low and slow. Fuck Getzy, there you are. Boom, thank you.
Story of my game.
Yeah, you're the best. Even when I practice with you in the summer, I'm like, that's how it's done.
I'll tell you what, though. It makes it harder on a guy like yourself as a D-man if there's no center ice because you don't have that out to a winger that's just blowing the zone.
I never wanted that fucking out to the winger.
You do have to find a guy like Getzy.
You know what? Yeah. You know what?
Now you can just rip one up the wall and your guy's fucking out at the blue line and he tips it in.
Yes, which I get it.
So now it's like... It'd be a lot of icings bringing it back. I used to fucking stare down our D when they'd throw just a missile up the fucking wall and it's near no one and all of a sudden you're tired going back for a fucking icing.
Yeah, but the other benefit,
when you took that red line out, that's when Six started bringing it to the backhand and making that backhand sauce cross. I say that's
summer hockey was the best just for that backhand sauce.
I'm just saying, you bring that red line back, the boys, the D man could step up. It would be a complete.
I also think they should play the net. We talked about this. Not play the net.
Let's see what Getzy thinks about this, Cons. Tell him what you think.
So you can't play the net. You can't shoot it into the net as a...
The netting behind the...
Oh.
To keep the puck.
Isn't that the goal in this game? Is shoot it in the net?
Isn't the whole idea...
Like, Colin, I thought you knew hockey. The whole point is getting into the fucking net.
We're just playing post.
You don't shoot it into the net, but if it hits the net...
Yeah,
it's a live puck.
We just play it.
Play where she lies. So it's the netting comes down.
But you can't play it. You can't fire one in off the net.
You got to make a pass. You got to make a pass. It's like,
how do you determine whether it's on purpose, though?
Well, I mean, I think it's. I mean, it'd be pretty obvious for the most part, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
I don't know. We get penalties for the puck going over the glass, and I tell you what, I don't do that on purpose ever.
No. And I also think as long as your blade is on the ice, you should be able to direct the puck into the net with your skate.
I agree with you. 100%. But we've kind of got to
you're
that
allowed
point.
To, you're allowed to.
We kind of got to that point.
You can't kick it, Cons, because if you start kicking it, you're going to slice someone's fucking cock off.
It cannot be a direction. You can't make a motion like you're trying to do it on purpose. If it hits your skate, but you can't direct it in intentionally.
You kind of can now.
Yeah, you're allowed.
Honestly, it's gone the
as
last couple
as
years.
It's not
they've
a kicking motion. You cannot, like, actually kick it, but you can it comes at you. You can angle it properly and like give it like a little
can you do that really
yeah,
so
yeah,
you can give
it
a little
yeah you kind of just
little direction.
Last couple of years they've changed it more and more leaning towards your rules, buddy. So
as long as the
you're
skate,
an innovator,
as long as the
hey,
listen,
you're ahead
the
of the game.
Listen, you and Batman are tight. You love Gary Batman. Why don't you call,
Island,
hey, yeah. call Batman up
best
and say,
commissioner in
hey,
the,
listen,
in the
let's
world.
Play the
best
net.
Commissioner in professional sports.
Let's play the net.
I was actually having this conversation with Brad Richardson over the weekend, and he would have to agree with you about Gary Batman, like how he's been the best for, maybe not for the players, but for the owner side of it. So,
Or the fans, maybe for the game.
But. I don't personally love
it. Yo, Uppy, you're still bent out of shape about the lockout. Let's call it what it is.
Maybe which one?
I went through two cons.
Well,
that's why you hate Batman.
I'm still bent out of shape.
I'd have a house in the hills if I fucking got to play that year back in 04. Fuck, we'd be all living.
Well, you
here.
Did all right anyway. So.
You're getting by.
I'm getting by, boys.
I just wish when they would have canceled the whole
college
season
education
instead of starting it in January because, fuck, I wasn't quite ready to rock. But
is that what happened?
Getzy.
should we talk about if Getzy will be ready to rock here after 11 months off, maybe, perhaps?
Yeah, Getzy, has this been the longest you've been off throughout your – I mean, you've played a lot of hockey over the years.
Yeah.
So this must be nice for you.
Yeah, this is the longest I've ever been off ever.
Ever.
Since I – even, you know, me and my wife have talked about it along the way here is that, like, I've never spent this much time with my family. I've never been this home this much since I was 15.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, you even went back home and bought a house in Canada.
We did. We went back to Regina.
I'm going
to taste
the
good life.
Get the kids a little Canadian experience.
Yeah.
They don't get that in Orange County.
No, we let them experience how I grew up and you know, how some of the other world looks.
What a real mosquito is.
Yeah. I just remember every year the Ducks, like, for fucking, felt like 5 years straight, they were going to the conference finals at least, right? And I'm waiting to rent Lupul's pad, and Uppy's trying to get rent Cam Fowler's. I'm like, fuck, I like Getsy to win another mug here, but he's got one already, so maybe fucking the Blackhawks knock him out here.
I need a house.
So I have to stay in Lupul's spare bedroom here for another month. Like, fuck, I'd like to get some broads over if I could, but that's how much hockey, like.
It's hard to get broads into a spare bedroom.
I gotta call my mom.
Connolly knows all about having broads in a spare bedroom.
Yeah, Con's not a big spare room guy. He's not a big spare room guy.
These guys show up at my.
I did use Con's spare room.
That's tough. Do you want to come back to my buddy's house?
I think I was in there. I'd used it once.
It's nice to stay with your buddy, but when you're trying, like, I was a National Leaguer. I'm like waiting for my fucking. I'm like, Ducks again.
We had a good. I mean, obviously, in my career, I've been blessed with good teams, good organization. You know, recently, obviously, we're in a bit of a rebuild at the moment. But we went on a good run there. That we had a lot of years, a lot of hockey with the Olympics, all that stuff too, and it became a lot of hockey over a short span.
So, last question, I'm going to turn it over to these guys. For guys like yourself and Crosby and the veterans that have been around, what is coming back to the game look like for you guys? I mean,
it's
different, right?
Interesting. People have been asking me all the time, and I've had a lot of questions about when we're coming back, all that kind of stuff, how long I want to play. And honestly, I don't have an answer. I'm curious to see what hockey's going to look like going forward, much like the rest of the world. This is all stuff that, like, nobody knows what it's going to look like in 6 months or a year for that matter. And we've never experienced this in our lifetime. Such uncertainty on how things are going to look, what the league's going to look like, how many players are going to be on your team. It's the whole game is going to be, have a different look where we're going to play. We play our whole game based on, you know, fan interaction and, like, building you up, the buildings that you go into. You talk about tough buildings.
Yeah.
Cons, you know about this. I'm going to give you your chance, Cons.
Coliseum.
Talk about the Coliseum. I know. That was my lead into you, buddy.
Ask Johnny Boots how the Coliseum.
There you go.
I was going to say the United Center.
I knew he was going to come up.
I know. I like.
No, it's going to be.
I got you.
It's going to be a challenge, boys. I think we all agree. But let's. Let's hope that it does get back to the way it was,
and soon,
Cons. Like, let's just hope, like, in the new year, 2021 comes around, January 1st, fucking NHL pops off with, you know, some games in Lake Louise, and things get exciting.
Is that still the plan, January 1st?
That's the plan right now. Right? We haven't heard anything else yet, so we got our fingers crossed. Obviously, the players really want to get back out there, and we want to play. I mean, that's we've been doing this our whole life, and to be off this long has been an experience. I've got to spend more time with my kids than I ever have, which has been absolutely fabulous. But at the end of the day, we're hockey players, and we want to get back to work, and we want to play, and we want to play in front of the fans. So as soon as that can happen, we'll be out there. And if the fans can't come back right away, we're going to do our best to put a product on the ice that's worth watching. So, and I thought they did a great job. The playoffs was a great product. The guys played hard, and
it's going to be like what they're doing in football and baseball. They'll start with, like, you know, whatever, right? 5,000 people.
Yeah.
Right? Because that even helps. I mean, even watching these baseball games, it helps a little
bit. Way better. Totally. Like, that's how much it's changed. You see, like, a half-empty stadium play. I'm like, here we go.
Not fucking cardboard cutouts. Yeah, here we go. Fucking bumping.
Here we go. The Dodgers are rolling. Let's go.
Yeah, it's hard to watch on TV and get involved with the cardboard cutout.
I know.
Look at this guy. He's fired up. He did the same pose last, like, 7 innings.
This guy sleeping over there? What's he doing?
I don't know. If you ask me, I'd go watch a fucking game with people. I don't.
I would, too. Wear the mask if you want. Throw the hand sanitizer on.
Get a seat beside me open. fucking Phil, whoever else wants to come.
Social distance.
Let's go.
What I thought they should have done is I thought they should have been able to sell all the suites. If I want to go and be in a suite with 10 of my buddies that I trust, that they've been, then why not?
Yeah.
Why can't I go and hang? I'm isolated to my suite. I'm not affecting anybody else.
Yeah, you're right. National League, right? Once a day, I'll take my suite.
And also, too, let's face it, Getsy has his own suite.
He does. He does at the Honda Center.
I knew that.
If you want to buy the whole upper deck. Yeah. Just fucking sit up there and have a couple doobies and fucking, like, watch some hockey. Come on.
I'll take the suite and the whole upper deck there for
me. Let me tell you something. If the Yankees would have made it to the show.
But they didn't.
Oh,
right,
shit.
Hey, what happened?
Oh, no.
What happened to your voice?
Really? They did it?
I'm just curious what happened to Stanton.
I would have been there. Come
you
would have
got your
water.
Way in there, huh?
I was actually, there. I was pulled for the Yankees because they're always better when the Yankees in it. And I knew there was fans in the World Series, so I knew that you would have went.
Series,
had it happened.
The World Series starts tonight.
Tonight.
We're going to
Kershaw, game one.
Is it fucking played in San Diego or Dallas?
Dallas.
Okay, so there is fans. That's good. So we get to see at least some fucking people cheering when that's good.
Less baseball Anaheim note. This Mike Trout guy, they got to get this guy in. They got to get this guy in the fucking postseason.
Yeah.
Have you met Trout at all? You know Trout at all? Have you met him 3 times in Anaheim, Mike?
I have. Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah. I went. Yeah. He's been great. Honestly, Mike. I met him at a couple golf tournaments, and then I've taken batting practice with the Angels 3 or 4 times since Mike's been there.
Getsy's a ball player.
And Mike's
able to get the water.
And a football player.
Look
fuck,
how long,
he can
long
tuck,
and Getsy could have been anything. If he didn't grow up in Regina, he would have been a fucking NFL or baseball player or whatever, because the guy's an athlete. Volleyball, beach volleyball player.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. When it's all said and done, Mike Trout, from a number standpoint, may be the greatest player of all time.
Yeah, he's, you know,
and he's got to get
I
in
wish
the show.
He would get, I wish he would get to the playoffs and stuff and be able to, like, you know, prove what he could do in the
on
in
a
the big situations.
Right.
Yeah, because it's Mike is an unbelievable guy. He's been great with my kids every time they're there. He's awesome. He's a fun dude, and obviously he can play ball.
He can.
He looks like he could be a fucking
ball.
UFC fighter too. Huh? I've seen him one time. His neck is fucking like.
I tried to get him to play D.
Yeah.
Like, listen, that guy
hey, can you skate?
You're like, I'll be so close to just pass it to him.
He covers a lot of that field out there, and he hits the shit out of the ball.
He's nasty to watch. I remember going to a game, and Loops was like, we go to Angel Stadium, get a big beer, a couple dogs. And Loops is like, this is Trout. Yeah, a couple dogs, couple
should've
dogs.
Should have just had one.
I should have had one. I probably had a couple, but.
That's all right.
Veggie dog.
I remember Loops is like, this Mike Trout's the number one ranked, you know, Loops was all about baseball, number one ranked baseball player. I was like, wow, really? And I watched him play that night as a kid. I was like, oh, yeah, I can see why.
He might be the best of all time.
Yeah.
If he can
But he needs
make
to be able to get into the playoffs. He needs
to
be
able to.
Yeah,
that's what
I'm
saying. He's not getting the national spotlight. He's wasting away in Anaheim. I hate to say that.
Well, I hope they just got a new GM too, right?
Yeah.
Angels?
They got John Madden coaching now, new GM. So hopefully.
Yeah, he's a great dude. He came into the locker room
the
one day
wine.
And I'm
John
sure he doesn't mind it.
He likes the red wine. No, that's like this thing. He's got great wine in the clubhouse, John Madden. Fun fact
for the boys.
He's got better duckhorn.
Hitchcock loved John Madden. I guess they're buddies.
He came into our locker room and did. He came and did our starting lineup one day in the locker room, and he literally was in there. And this was such a baseball mentality because he was in the locker room. He's talking. He's doing our starting lineup, and he literally spent 4 minutes talking about each player that he knew nothing about. He didn't even know the players. But he would, like, sit and have a conversation with you. And I'm like, John, fuck, game's about to start, man. Like,
where's my elbow pads?
Hey, John, the anthem's about to start here, bud. Wrap it up.
Like, John, you're just supposed to say the names.
Yeah, you just say, God, sorry, Getzlav, Kessler, whatever. Yeah.
He was going through each player. He'd be like, hey, how are you feeling tonight? You're starting.
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Going through the whole thing. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Listen, Getzy, it's only been 70 minutes. It's crazy. But we wanted to. First of all, we appreciate you coming in, and hopefully we can do this again with you. I know once the season starts up, you'll be busy, but we did want to touch on your charity work that you do, because maybe our listeners in Canada or whatever, just how long you've been doing it for. And I know we've played in your golf tournament, and most of us that played in it, you know, finished 18 holes.
Right. But
most
I was
of us
there
went through all 18.
Unless, but, you, unless know, you had other options
on that. I was there for the auction, and I teed off. I pulled a hamstring on the third hole.
Cons did support us that night. He did. He came,
goes,
he
I
came
was
to the main
event. On the third hole, suffered an injury, and was sidelined for the remainder of the round.
It was a crazy injury.
It was like, where was those two cute cart girls? They went missing, and Connolly left the course.
I'll tell you what, our boy PJ McKegg runs it, and I will say this. The Getzlav Golf Tournament, there is no shortage of ladies on. It's every hole there's girls on, which
also a beautiful course. And now that I love golf the way I do, I took it for granted. And
yeah, Monarch.
Yeah, so can you just touch on how long it's been going? And
we've been doing it for this was supposed to be our 10th year in this September, which was obviously a bit of a downfall
in the fact that
we weren't allowed to do it. Well, I don't want to say we weren't allowed to, because there was just a lot of restrictions that weren't going to allow us to do what we like to do and really enjoy the day and show the folks. So, you know, the 10th year was going to be our big bang. We wanted to do things right and properly, so we took this year off. And but we've been able to raise over $3 million over the last 9 years.
That's awesome.
And like
steady
you said,
climb, too.
Yeah.
I think last year was like $700,000.
Yeah, 700 grand last year.
You didn't want to do it without the dunk tank, did you?
It's for the,
we need the dunk tank. You can't not have a dunk tank.
You gotta have a dunk,
I got dunked by two babes one time. Yeah, I went right down to my undies. I held up the whole group. Or I held up the whole golf course.
I go
like,
in that thing
it.
Every year.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like, it's worth the stop.
I mean, you do put the two cute babes on that course, on that hole. So
I think I went to the first one.
The first golf tournament?
The first one would have been what year? 2010, 2011?
Yeah, what do we carry the two? Yeah. It's 2000.
Carry the two. Yeah, you might have been subtract, divide it by, yeah. Yes, to 2000. Yeah, yeah.
You were at the first or second one.
I was at the first and like the third one. I went
we got
two.
In trouble at the auction for maybe talking a little too much, but you did the right thing. You said, oh, hey, bro, we got to do something.
By the way, I got injured early on both rounds.
It's tough, eh? It's tough when you get injuries on the golf course are tough. Eh?
Never made the turn. I never made the turn.
Like, Cons, where'd you go? I'm back in L.A., bro. Sunday football.
Cons, like, why does Getzlaff only throw a nine-hole tournament? Like, no, everyone else plays 18, Cons. You're just...
Hey, now Cons would be going 36. You'd be going out. You'd be on 36
out
there.
Dude, I'll be in bed the night before early. I'll be out hitting, chipping balls at 5:30 a.m. Like
you know how
morning.
Much I love that you're into golf now.
It just happened.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. We should bring Cons up to the Fort McMurray, to my old...
We all go
I got a quick
Fort
story,
Mac.
Too, for the listeners. So yeah. I did my golf tournament with Chris Phillips up in Fort McMurray, the kids forever. We did it 10 years.
Chris Phillips?
Yeah, Chris Phillips in Fort
Steady
McMurray.
Eddie on the back end there for the Sens.
So he started it. I joined him when I made the NHL. And so one year, we're all living in Kelowna. And it's me, Getzy, Heatley, Jordan Tutu, and Vern Fiddler. So I'm like, boys, I got the plane. We'll fucking pile in the plane. We'll go up. Getzy's like, really? You're going to get us a plane? I'm like, fuck yeah. So we get there. Actually, Obi, you were on this plane one time. We get there and he's looking at it. He's like, which one's ours? Which one's ours? I'm like, it's that one right there. He's like, what, the ones with the wheels and the fucking rotors and everything like that? I'm like, yeah, it's a fucking King Air. He's like, it's more like a float plane up, dog. I'm like, it's not a jet, it's a plane.
It was a three-hour ride.
He
described it as a jet to begin with.
Three-hour ride up to Fort Max. We get there, pre-tournament thing. Getzy's meeting everyone, and terrible guy, like he is. He's mixing it with the crew, and so we're at Earl's in Fort Max. We're at Earl's there, good restaurant, a bunch of hot babes.
Earl's girls,
and we're making our way from Earl's over to the Cowboys, which is our bar in Fort Mac. And on the way over there, we're walking. There's 10 of us, my buddies.
That you say our bar. Just for the record, there is only one. So that's why we were going there.
It is
there.
Our bar.
That's it. Yeah.
So, and back in the day, you walk in and do whatever you want. Oh, just don't try not to get in fights. That was the only thing. So I tell these guys, I'm like, listen, anything goes in this bar. Like, you can walk into a full fucking roadhouse fist fight city. but yeah, I'll take care of the boys, eh? Well, meanwhile, I do a couple little mushrooms. I'm fucking tripping my balls off. And on the way in, we walk through the parking lot, buddy. Doors,
much help.
Doors open. Doors open. It's Royal Rumble. I'm talking 20 guys come out.
What?
This pickup truck comes around. Getzy
goes, he wasn't much help. Yeah.
This pickup truck comes around. Two guys jump out of the back with fucking 2x4s. What? And they start swinging them at people. And I'm like
old school 2x4s?
Hacksaw Jimmy Duggan.
Just came from Lowe's.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Literally 2x4.
Yeah. Cops are out there. A bunch of guys fight each other. And I'm like, all right, this is the time we go in the bar and pick up all the chicks. Boy, yeah. This is perfect.
And let's be clear. This usually happens at like 2 in the morning.
No, it was
everyone's
like
wasted. This
it was
is
like
when we got
10:30.
To the bar.
10:30. Hey, but
done dinner.
Usually when you leave the bar, you're like, heads up, boys. There's a couple guys tilting over there. You don't go in there and be like, heads up. Hey,
you dodge it on the way in. Yeah, it was
my brother Brento had a good night.
Brento had a tough night. We lost him for a little while. We got lost. I think we walked home from the bar later, and we lost Brento. He was wandering around Fort Mac.
I want to bring up this because when I think about you, Getzy, and I talked to a couple guys about this, about, you know, being a pro and what it's like to be a young dad, a young captain on a team, the morals you must have. And I thought of these four things and I wrote them down. But first, I would say you live by being a good dad and good husband.
Yeah.
Always thought that about you. You were a young dad, great dad, good husband. And then next, be a good friend. And he's a fucking great friend.
Yeah.
And then
takes my money on the golf course, but
he also lets you guys borrow that Sprinter van.
That's fucking right. But then what's next after that when you talk about hockey as being a good teammate? And I would say, Getsy, I never got to play with you, but you're a fucking great teammate to all the guys you've ever played with.
Getsy's one of the best guys to go to the barn with. You won't catch him in the gym much, but yeah.
I've actually worked out with him a ton.
Trainer's table.
Me and Updog used to mix it up in the summer.
Fucking A.
Oh, yes.
We'd actually play more tennis than we'd actually work out.
That's a good workout, though.
And then if you could, at the end of the day, you tell your boys on your team, be a fucking good hockey player. Because then if you put those all together, you're going to be fucking... You'd be a good teammate.
If you put all those together, you'll be a Hall of Famer, and you'll fucking make, I don't know what you made, a lot. So
Jersey goes up on the wall.
I appreciate that.
But it's an admirable thing, fucking, when you have a guy like Getsy in the studio and he's giving it to us.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I mean, last year when you played your 1,000th game, I was like, you know, I got to tell. I knew it was coming up, and you said, oh, it was my 1,000th game, and I was like,
Thinking back to the
days I met Getz, like the first summer camps we did together when we were staying at the fucking Doubletree.
What a Doubletree that was.
And I'm like, we're fucking around and screwing up the workouts.
Easier times.
Sean Scans, like, pay attention to me, and Getz here fucking off in the corner laughing, having a good time. And then I was like, wow, 1,000 games, like, it goes like that. So it was, but I could tell the whole 1,000 games, the thing they were doing, the ceremony for you. I'm like, Getsy just wants the game to start, huh? You hate it. You're uncomfortable. Getsy is not happy that, like, this is his night. He played 1,000 games, and he's like, can we just get this going and get this game started? So
yeah.
I respected that about you, too. It's never been about you, Getsy, and that's why you've won and done everything. Guys love playing with you.
No, I appreciate that. But, no, it's been I've been very fortunate. I came in the league at a great time and learned from a lot of great people and been very fortunate to play on some good teams. So
yeah,
it's the success comes from the people around you, obviously.
I didn't get to finish my story about the Roxy. I'm going to finish it here. This is the last thing I'm going to say.
The whole team goes out,
and we're waiting for the bus in the morning, right? We're like, all right, everyone's on the bus. And we're like, where the fuck is Todd Marchant? All the young guys are on. Penner, O'Brien, Perry.
Penner was on the bus.
And granted, we don't look great. We don't look great. It's raining in Vancouver. We got our sunglasses on, and no Todd Marchant. So Marcy came down to San Diego and was ripping me, and I'm like, Marsh, you want me to tell these young kids about the fucking story where you missed the bus in Vancouver or not? Because if you keep staying on me, I'm letting these fuckers know. But anyways, Getsy, we love you. You're welcome anytime. We know you're busy, but, I mean, that flew by. Uppy, talk about our merch.
Let's talk about the shirts, boys.
Yeah, tell them what's going on.
How do these feel? Getsy, how does your shirt feel?
Feels wonderful. Yeah. This is just good quality
stuff. So Getsy's wearing, with boys,
guys don't spare.
Listeners, we got our new merch in. We got four tarps. We're going to call them tarps.
Yeah. Three hats, four hats.
You know, I got the soft blue one on here with the face. Obi, this
that
guy,
one looks
Fox.
That one looks amazing. That's
Captain
great.
Khan's got a couple in the back. But for our listeners out there, we've been listening to you. We got some merch. We got some hats. And they'll be up on the website here probably by the end of the week. So we're launching a new website. And we want you guys all to feel like you're part of this and pick up a tee. And fucking A, miss some curfew.
Yeah, great job on the merch. Getsy, you're a legend. Thanks for listening, folks.